Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. The policy issues surrounding teacher pay are a perennial subject of debate in North Carolina, but of late, things have taken on a new and different tenor as some conservative officials have attempted to introduce a new way of calculating pay rates that de-emphasizes teacher experience and elevates things like test scores and student surveys. Recently, in an effort to get a better handle on this potentially momentous change, I caught up with a citizen journalist who's done yeoman's work in uncovering and publicizing details of this controversial initiative, veteran Charlotte Mecklenburg public school teacher and education policy analyst Justin Parmenter. And as Parmenter, who posts regular updates at the website Notes from the Chalkboard, told me, the new scheme and the way proponents have been attempting to sell it raise a host of serious questions. Well, Justin Parmenter, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much. It's always great to talk with you, Rob.
A lot of teachers have been trying to use their summer breaks to relax and maybe catch their breath, but you've been spending a lot of your time filing public records requests with the Department of Public Instruction and writing essays and news stories on your website, Notes from the Chalkboard. That's at www.notesfromthechalkboard.com, about this new proposal on teacher pay and ratings of their effectiveness, rather than basing teacher pay on credentials and experience. What the heck is going on with the Department of Public Instruction? What are they trying to do? And what have your records requests really found out this summer?
It's a very complicated story. And I think that might be one of the reasons why the reaction of educators to all this has been a little slow rolling, just because, and not just educators, but the public in general, it's a very wonky policy. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of nuances. But, you know, the nutshell version is that there is a group called the Pepsi Commission. Sounds like the drink, but it's P-E-P-S-C. They were created in the 2018 budget bill that the General Assembly passed to look at teacher standards, professional standards. The legislation is actually kind of vague, but what the folks who ended up taking charge of this work, you know, they decided that this was going to be an effort to completely revamp the way teachers are licensed and paid in North Carolina. So that work started shortly after, I guess it would have been a few months after that budget bill was passed in the summer of 2018. A group called the Human Capital Roundtable started meeting in private, creating the foundation for this policy. So that was kind of how it all started in the very beginning. And, you know, interestingly, that group called the Human Capital Roundtable, which included a member of the State Board of Education, a couple of high-ranking employees of DPI, some university folks, and some others, they worked for about 2 years on this proposal in secret. None of those meetings were ever live streamed. No minutes were provided to the public, nothing like that. It raises a lot of questions about where did the proposal, how did it start? Who was in the room? Who was pushing for this merit pay approach, which would completely change, you know, our approach to compensating teachers? And that got me interested in trying to poke around for what other documentation could there be that might give us some better insight into what was going on behind the scenes. And, you know, I think for somebody who's very interested in policy, like me and like you and like a lot of us, there's the public facing side of issues, you know, the press conference, the press release, what's said on the recording and that kind of thing. But I've always had the sense that there must be a whole lot more that's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, fortunately, public records law provides for concerned citizens to look into and get some documentation. So that's kind of how that all unfolded.
It's really important stuff. And it and does highlight the fact that public records laws are not just for lawyers or just for people who are paid to be journalists. They are for citizens like yourself who also, right, you know, are playing an incredibly important role in informing the public. So how do they want to transform how teachers are licensed and how teachers are compensated in our state?
Again, it's a super complicated policy, and this is a short conversation, I think.
Sure.
But one, like the, I guess the Cliff's Notes version of it would be that it's throwing the doors open a lot wider to people who are interested in becoming teachers. And at the same time, it is putting in place some effectiveness measures. The biggest one is EVAS, which is a computer algorithm that's supposed to measure how good of a teacher you are using student standardized test scores and no other data. That's one way that they're going to supposedly know who's doing a good job and who isn't. And then there are some other measures such as principal evaluations, peer evaluations, student surveys. And so I guess the idea here is that we're going to be making it much easier for anyone who wants to become a teacher to become a teacher. And we will know which ones are the good ones and which ones are the bad ones with this merit pay side of it, and then we can just get rid of the ones who aren't good teachers. These measures aren't actually going to tell us what we claim they're going to tell us. And one of my concerns, I have a lot, but one of my concerns is that we're going to be putting people in classrooms who aren't sufficiently prepared for what it takes to be an effective teacher, which is, you know, understanding children, how they think, being prepared to deal with the other outside issues that come into the classroom, you know, from home life and things like that. And there are so many qualities that are necessary for someone to be a good classroom teacher besides just knowing the subject that they're supposed to teach the students.
I know myself, as the husband of a woman who was a teacher in the Wake County schools for many years, indeed a behavioral support teacher who worked with kids who had a lot of special needs, it's an amazingly complex job. And the notion that you could just teach math because you knew math, or you could just teach whatever subject because you knew it, is a pretty remarkable assumption.
Right.
We're talking with veteran educator Justin Parmenter, who teaches in the Mecklenburg County Schools and Charlotte Mecklenburg County Schools, and has been doing a lot of research this summer on some fairly controversial plans that are being hatched to change a lot of basics about how public education is run in North Carolina. So you put in these requests for documents to the Department of Public Instruction, right? That's where you got some of these documents. Am I right about that?
I did. That's right. Yeah. I tried to get any documentation about the Human Capital Roundtable and was denied. I'm still working on that because, you know, I believe that it's illegal for those records not to be made available. But DPI did furnish me with a lot of records that were related to various aspects of this proposal. And some of the most interesting ones were a request that I made to include any emails from this marketing firm called Echol & Vaughn, which is based right in Raleigh. I had received a tip that this company was approaching teachers and trying to get them to write op-eds about the merit pay process, but they didn't want to have follow-up conversations with the teachers who didn't like the idea. And I thought that was interesting. So I thought, you know, maybe DPI was paying them and I was interested about that. And so I made the request and, you know, about a month went by and I think I got about, I don't know, 150 emails or something like that. Some of them with attachments and links to Google Docs and things like that. And when I started sifting through those, I was amazed at some of the things that I found. You know, for example, this whole marketing strategy that this company was putting in place for the Department of Public Instruction to follow, in which they said things like, it's in our best interest to only speak in a positive way about this proposal and to not talk about the burden that it may place on districts that are implementing it. And I mean, that kind of thing, I was appalled, you know.
Yeah, propaganda, it sounds like.
Exactly. And if we're trying to, if we're transforming how we're licensing and paying teachers, I mean, the implications for HR departments and other parts of our school district and completely shifting to this new system, you know, at the very least, we need to be able to have honest conversations about what that's going to look like rather than this slimy kind of spin that we see going on.
Who's paying these people, this big
firm? Who's paying these people? It's interesting you should ask. So it took a little while. Andos Helms at WFAE here in Charlotte was able to find out that the Belk Foundation is paying for that through a grant to the Southern Regional Education Board, which is the group that's been working from the beginning to do all this with the Human Capital Roundtable. So the Belk Foundation is paying for that marketing campaign, which is troubling. But, you know, the other documents that I turned up that I thought were especially interesting showed a concerted effort by leadership at DPI to interfere with feedback from teachers being collected. And so there had been a round of teacher listening sessions that were organized and done by DPI, which sounds great. It did happen after teachers started voicing their dissatisfaction with this proposal. So it seemed like it was a little bit of damage control, but they did the sessions. But at the same time, I turned up these records that EdNC had planned to do some surveying of educators as well.
That's an education news group here.
Education news group, yeah. EducationNC, EdNC.org. You know, they read a lot about different aspects of education in our state, but their editor, Mevin Rash, had expressed that she was interested in surveying educators, would like to partner with DPI on that. But if they didn't want to partner on it, she was going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I got this email that had notes from a meeting with Catherine Truitt, the superintendent, the chair of the Pepsi Commission, Dr. Patrick Miller, and Jill Kamnitz, who's a member of our State Board of Education. And this was all captured in notes. They were talking about this is a threat. You know, if she goes off on her own, we won't have control of the data. It's very important who owns the data. Mm. And, you know, the takeaways from the meeting, it says that right there in black and white that the next step is that Catherine Truitt is going to try to dissuade Mebane Rash from proceeding with that survey. As the leader of public education in our state, I would like to think that the superintendent would be interested in hearing from teachers their unfiltered perspective on how is this policy going to impact us so that we can consider that feedback and then hopefully use it to iron out some wrinkles or work out some kinks or however you want to say it. But the fact that there's actually work being done in the opposite direction to prevent that feedback from being collected by an independent news organization, I was just really shocked to see that.
I understand that Governor Jim Hunt, who's been a participant in debates about public education going back to when he was governor the first time, 40 years right. ago in our state. But I understand he's now withdrawn from one of the organizations that's been involved in this plan to change how we compensate teachers.
He has. So yeah, this group, Echelon Vaughn and the Southern Regional Education Board and the Human Capital Roundtable, they're all working to put together this thing called the Uplift Ed Coalition. And the goal of this coalition is to convince the public that this proposal is a good idea. You know, they're the, I guess, public-facing team of cheerleaders for the policy. And they had recruited Governor Hunt and also Governor Jim Martin to mm-hmm. serve as honorary co-chairs on this committee. I have no way of knowing what level of detail the former governors were given about exactly, you know, what this policy would look like, how it would impact teachers. But Governor Hunt apparently agreed initially to do it. This was months ago, before teachers even got wind sure. about what was going on. And, you know, once the teachers started to express their concerns about the policy, and then I think especially, you know, once I found out about this coalition and published the spreadsheet for recruiting and showed everybody who was on there and everything, and also the marketing strategy of this group, you know, I think probably the public pushback had something to do with that decision.
Sounds like maybe he realized you had been sold a bill of goods, perhaps.
I think so. And, you know, I wasn't there for those conversations, but just based on what I've been able to uncover in terms of this sort of desire to rely on spin and marketing, I would be surprised if he got a detailed and clear explanation of exactly what he was signing up for when he was recruited.
We're coming to the end of our time with veteran Charlotte Mecklenburg educator Justin Parmenter, who you can find a lot of great essays and news reporting that he does at notesfromthechalkboard.com. This is probably an unfair question in the limited time we have available, Justin, but we just passed a state budget. There's a modest raise nominally for teachers, maybe an average around 4%. Of course, we know inflation's running much higher than that, so most teachers probably going to be not as well off next year as they were a year ago. What do we need to be doing to address this? What would your approach be rather than this new convoluted scheme of reworking teacher compensation? How might we just invest in teachers? What would you do if you had the chance to be in charge of education in our state?
Well, these might not be words you hear very often, but we need to be more like Alabama and Mississippi. Alabama and Mississippi both just passed the largest educator pay raises in decades, and they did so with Republican majorities in both chambers of their legislatures and Republican governors. And so, you know, that's the kind of move that I guess you make when you realize that you're in deep doo-doo, and if you don't do something serious, your system of public schools is going to collapse. I would really hope that our legislators would take a look at that. I mean, I guess with the budget that was just passed, it might be a little late for this round, but we definitely need to be changing our priorities and doing more for our teachers.
It's so good that you're doing this important work. We really appreciate it. Tragically, our state legislators have not followed that lead yet, but perhaps maybe the developments, this revelations that you've shined a light on, continued debate, continued discussion, and maybe the model from Alabama and Mississippi will lead them to maybe change their ways here in the foreseeable future. We sure appreciate your work. Folks, please check him out at notesforthechalkboard.com. Justin Parmenter, one of the most insightful education analysts in our state. Justin, have a good summer. Get some rest before you go back to school.
All right. Great to talk with you, Rob. Thank you so much.
Coming up next, a special extended conversation about the latest COVID and monkeypox news with UNC infectious disease expert, Dr. David Wohl. Don't go away.